Good day, this is Mary reading for the Talking Information Centre. So, starting off the morning with the Brockton Enterprise, and it is August 24th. Town Hall holds plan to install flock cameras. After contentious public outcry, the East Bridgewater Police Department has stepped back from its plan to install flock cameras in town. Earlier this month, East Bridgewater Police Chief Michael Jenkins fielded comments and concerns from residents at a select board meeting on August 10th concerning the implementation of automated license plate recognition cameras, or ALPRSs. ALPR cameras are capable of using artificial intelligence to collect data about drivers such as license plates and makes and models of cars, but have raised privacy concerns across the country as to the full scope capabilities of the technology and the extent to the data which they store. Then on Friday, August 21st, the chief announced plans to terminate the program. We were originally, When we originally evaluated the program, we believed ALPR technology could provide an additional investigative tool to help recover stolen vehicles, locate missing or endangered persons, and assist investigators in solving serious crimes, the department said in a post on Facebook. We also developed policies and safeguards intended to govern its use within the East Bridgewater Police Department. After considering recent developments surrounding ALPR technology, concerns regarding data practices and security, and the questions and concerns raised by members of our community, I have determined that continuing with this program is not the right decision for the East Bridgewater at this time, he said. We currently have one flock camera installed. No additional cameras will be installed, and we will be taking the necessary steps to discontinue the agreement in accordance with its contractual terms and arrange for the removal of the current installed camera, the chief said. Any technology we use must have the confidence of the community. Jenkins said, though, the department sees a potential value in the technology. They cannot, in good conscience, move forward given their legitimacy to the community's pushback. ALPR technology can be a valuable public safety tool, and we believe this system could help our officers investigate crimes and locate people in danger, Jenkins said in a written statement Friday. However, any technology we use must have the confidence of the community. Residents have raised legitimate questions about privacy, access to data, oversight, and the safeguards needed to prevent misuse. After listening to those concerns and taking a closer look at the issue, I believe ending our agreement with Flock is the right decision for East Bridgewater. The department said it will work with Flock Safety to terminate the agreement and remove the installed camera. The decision does not take the technology off the table for the future, however. This decision is not a judgment on the potential value of the ALPR technology, Jenkins said. It is acknowledgement that we need to weigh that value against the concerns surrounding its use. If we consider this technology again, it will be through a transparent process that gives the public a clear understanding of what is being proposed and how that their information would be protected. Our officers will continue using their training experience and available investigative resources to protect this community, he said. Technology can assist that work, but public trust must remain at the center of every decision we make. As state rep candidates exchange personal attacks in debate, state representative candidates Tony Rodriguez and Michelle Dubois tried to define each other as unfit for the role during a debate hosted by the Brockton NAACP. Dubois, the incumbent, called Rodriguez a misogynist aggressive, confrontational, and said his record is filled with scandal after scandal. At the debate Thursday night, August 20th, at the Brockton Cable Access, Rodriguez, currently Ward 4 Brockton School Committee member, described Dubois as a member of the old guard who doesn't hold Brockton leaders accountable for major issues. He also claims she's failed to take on leadership roles on Beacon Hill and doesn't understand Brockton as well. Doesn't understand Brockton as well as him because she's not a parent and he is. They clashed over topics including Brockton Public Schools' $18 million deficit. In 2023, the school committee's controversial call for the National Guard, youth violence, and the delayed Boys and Girls Club expansion. Voters will choose between Dubois and Rodriguez in the September 1 Democratic primary for state representative of the 10th Plymouth District. That election effectively decides the race, as there is no Republican candidate. Early voting starts August 22nd. During Rodriguez's time on the school committee, which he joined in 2019, multiple high-profile fiascos have occurred, including the $18 million deficit and ensuing chaos at the high school, which prompted the request for the National Guard. Dubois argued that Rodriguez handled these situations poorly, while Rodriguez claimed Dubois failed to help Brockton Public Schools or hold leaders accountable. He's had scandal after scandal, Dubois said. Dubois said that the state's Office of the Inspector General found Rodriguez, also known as a school committee member, to be one of the officials responsible for the deficit. Rodriguez responded, "Tony Rodriguez isn't the school committee. He is one member of that committee." He added that former mayor Robert Sullivan, whom Dubois supported, prevented Rodriguez from becoming committee vice chairman in 2022 because he had been asking hard questions. "Your decision making is based upon the information that you were given," he said, adding that he had responsibility for the deficit only as one member of the committee, who lacked a leadership position. Dubois said, "This is again him trying to twist his failures and put them on another person." Rodriguez argued that Dubois didn't do her part to handle the scandal she blamed him on. "Our representative never even challenged. Never asked the question of how we got to this deficit," he said. "She's part of that old guard. I'm not part of that. I'm fighting for the working families and students, the brown children of this community," he said. When Rodriguez went to the State House to meet with officials about the deficit, he said Dubois was never present. Dubois responded, "This is another misleading characterization by my opponent," she said. She had multiple meetings with the State Departments of Education and Revenue, as well as other elected officials who represent Brockton on Beacon Hill. "I think that it's a part of the reason that the city didn't get taken over, were the meetings and the oversight that I helped provide," she said. As the debate progressed, Dubois and Rodriguez's attacks became more personal. Dubois said of the committee's call for help from the National Guard, he called to bring the National Guard into the high school to police our students like a prison guard would. "I'm a retired corrections officer, not a prison guard," Rodriguez said. "There's a difference between that." He also said he supports programming that addresses youth violence, adding that he pushed for state legislation that raises the dropout age from 16 to 18. "I grew up in those communities that experience violence," he said. I wasn't in the outskirts of the city. I lived it firsthand. I've seen violence. I've seen individuals that I went to school with in the prison system because of violence with firearms. Dewar said Rodriguez was being misleading. When faced with high levels of violence at the high school, she said he did not push for increased youth services. Another of Rodriguez's scandals, according to Dubois, was his voting against the long-delayed expansion of the Boys and Girls Club. The project could finally go forward after a school committee vote in June. She said, "Why would we want to give more power to a person when we see how they wield power is always to the detriment of those people that are struggling?" Rodriguez said he has voted against the project because it was a backdoor deal. Further, he said, he was the one who started the process to fix it. Rodriguez argued that Dubois has failed to gain influential leadership roles at the State House in her time serving there. He said her office is in the basement next to the men's room, and there was a reason why they put it there. He questioned why it took her years to become vice chair of the Joint Committee on Mental Health, Substance Use and Recovery, her only leadership role on a committee in the State House. Dubois pointed out there are only 20 vice chairs in a body with 160 people. "Like somehow he's going to get elected and become the chair of Ways and Means," she said. "That's a misleading fact. I was the first person of color elected to the Brockton School Committee," Rodriguez responded. "I have leadership." He added he has called for multiple audits of the school department. After Rodriguez attacked her record as a leader, Dubois described Rodriguez's attitude toward her throughout the debate as monogamous. "I have a very established success record, and I've done a lot," she said. She said that Rodriguez has not conducted himself well while in office. "He's been extremely aggressive, confrontational, non-collegial, and really just running around trying to make excuses for his own fiduciary failures," she said. Rodriguez said these traits led him to making good decisions. "Some of those decisions that I made was common sense decisions, not based on political pressure and friendships. That's why I challenge things," he said. "My aggressiveness has moved tons of needles within the district. You supported individuals, and that have had financial crises in the city for decades." Also from the Brockton Enterprise, spike in school supply costs hits the parents. Major school supply brands have increased their prices in recent months, citing inflation, rising gas prices, and tariffs. Brandy McGrath usually buys quality, long-lasting school supplies for her 9-year-old son and his teachers. But sharp increases in the cost of folders, pencils, and other products have forced her to cut back and search for cheaper alternatives. "It's insane how expensive things have gotten," said McGrath, 48, of Salt Lake City. "I'm looking for every sale I can." In Daytona Beach, Florida, Karen Kaiser was similarly struck by the cost of back-to-school shopping this year. "It is crazy," she said, estimating that she and her husband spent over $100 on just notebooks and loose-leaf paper for their two daughters. "That's not counting what we had to pay for back-to-school clothes, shoes, haircuts." The cost of a typical school supply list, including notebooks, papers, pencils, and glue sticks, is nearly $175, almost 8% higher than in 2025, according to an analysis by the Groundwork Collaborative and the Century Foundation, two progressive think tanks. Some essential items, such as lunchboxes, notebooks, and tissues, cost 20% or more than they did a year ago, the analysis found, pointing in part to the effects of President Donald Trump's tariff agenda, which the Federal Reserve said raised the cost of many products manufactured overseas for American consumers. Over the same period, the cost of electronics such as headphones rose 6.6%. The report found, meanwhile, typical lunch items cost 10.9%, more than they did in 2025, the analysis said, citing price hikes on products including blueberries and deli meat. The rising prices come as Americans are already struggling with inflation and high gas prices stemming from the war with Iran, forcing many to take on debt and stretch their meals. A survey by Credit Karma found that 57% of parents are entering the back-to-school season with credit card debt, and nearly half plan to pursue new credit to help pay for the back-to-school expenses. Major school supply brands have increased their prices in recent months, citing inflation, rising gas prices, and tariffs. Newell Brands, which owns well-known school supply brands such as Sharpie, Expo, Papermate, and Elmer's Glue, increased prices to offset more than $170 million in tariff costs. The ACCO Brands, which owns school notebook supplier Mead and Five Star, cited costs from tariffs and conflict in the Middle East as headwinds that will lead to higher prices for consumers. We do anticipate having to push through additional cost increases globally, said Thomas Tedford, president and CEO of ACCO Brands, in an earnings call in July. The Trump administration has said the higher prices will be temporary. As traffic through the Straits of Hormuz normalizes, energy prices and thus overall inflation will come down and real wages will rise. Excuse me. White House spokesperson Kush Desai said in a statement, President Trump's economic agenda delivered historic working class prosperity in his first term, and this same agenda is cleaning up Joe Biden's mess to deliver more job, wage, and investment growth. McGrath, who leads her local parent teacher association, said she compared receipts from 2025 with what she spent this year and was flabbergasted by the difference. I was paying $1 apiece for basic folders last year, and today they were $2.79, she said. About 62% of back-to-school shoppers said that they were likely to seek out sales this year, according to an annual NerdWallet report. A quarter of the respondents said that they plan to cut back on school-related spending, and 72% said items such as clothing, school supplies, and electronics feel noticeably more expensive this year than in 2025. Jenny Craig of Ormond Beach, Florida, said she spent hundreds of dollars more on school supplies for her three daughters this year than she did last year. To keep costs down, she tried to save where she could. I said no to the $1.50 folders that are nicer simply because they have a cute cat on it, she said. We got the plain 49-cent folders instead. Across the country, tens of thousands of parents are lining up for free backpacks, notebooks, and other supplies for their children. Many groups organizing these fundraisers say they have seen the need for donations rise sharply over the past several years. The Brevard Schools Foundation, which serves children and families in East Central Florida, went from giving free backpacks to about 3,100 students in 2023 to supplying them to nearly 5,000 children last year. Families continue to face rising costs for school supplies, while teachers regularly encounter students who arrive without the basic materials they need to learn. Joan Perry, a spokesperson for the foundation, told Florida Today, part of the USA Today network. The new school year arrived at a time when families were already struggling to afford everyday expenses. Studies have shown more Americans are dipping into their savings and taking on debt to cover essential payments on housing, food, and rent. In a June survey, 30% of respondents said they used a credit card to pay for essentials in the past 3 months, knowing they may not pay off their bills. Chase Miranda, 36, of Indian Lake, Ohio, said he and his wife had fallen behind on rent and utility payments just to afford groceries, especially after their food stamp benefits were recently cut by half. Trump slashed funding for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program in 2025 in a move, the White House said, would strengthen the program to serve those who need it most. More than 4 million people are estimated to have lost food benefits since the Republican-backed legislation took effect. Miranda, who was unable to work because of a chronic pain stemming from scoliosis and bulging discs in his back, said the cuts meant he couldn't buy his 12-year-old son anything new for the coming school year. Until we get enough money saved up, he'll use last year's supplies, he said. In Salt Lake City, McGrath hosts fundraisers and collects supplies for his son's elementary school. This year, she has brought in about a third of the donations she usually receives. It's hurting everyone, she said. And the race for a seat on the Plymouth County Commission has heated up following a controversial hire. The county board selected former Brockton CFO Troy Clarkson as county administrator and gave him a salary of $185,000, which is $61,000 higher than the upper limit in the job posting. The move has drawn criticism, and the Enterprise asked each of the candidates for their view. Republicans Anthony O'Brien, Corey Welch, and Sandra Wright, the incumbent, face off in a primary on September 1. Early voting starts August 22nd. The winner faces Democratic Rhonda Nyman in the November 3 general election. And what does the Plymouth County Commission do? The three Plymouth County Commissioners oversee a $13 million budget for services including operating a dredge, managing a regional retirement fund, and employing a county entomologist, according to county websites. Anthony O'Brien, one of the three Republican candidates, said, "This is an unprecedented action that just does not happen. The reason I'm running is that is the only accountability for leaders who conduct waste, fraud, and abuse like this is elections," he said. He said commissioners also get overpaid for the amount of work they do. They receive a salary of a bit over $39,000 per year for what he described as a job with a few day-to-day functions. In his view, all they do is hold a few meetings each month. Incumbent Sandra Wright defended her record in an interview with the Enterprise, saying that her pay was $7,200 per year when she first started, and she worked up to 60 hours per week back then. Corey Welch, a Republican candidate, called the hiring of Clarkson with an $185,000 salary completely insane and preposterous and not necessary. He said both Treasurer Tom O'Brien and the Plymouth County Advisory Board advised against the move. "You're supposed to take the advice of these people around you, especially from Tom O'Brien," he said. "And now you have to fire two people you hired 6 months ago to make room for that," he added. "Now you're playing with people's lives. I would never do anything like that." Commissioner Jared L. Valenzuela, who voted against hiring Clarkson, said the other two members of the board orchestrated backroom dealings to get the salaries of the county administrator in training, Christopher Heffernan, and assistant county administrator, Theresa Verazzaro, off the books to free up money for Clarkson. Sandra Wright, who has been a Plymouth County Commissioner for over 15 years, voted in favor of hiring Clarkson. She said she simply wanted to hire the most qualified candidate. "We need experienced people," she said, "and nowadays, if you look, I wasn't able to find anybody for $125,000 a year." She said Clarkson has a PhD and is a former CFO for Brockton, the job he left to take the Plymouth County post. "I think that he will be willing. He will bring a lot to the county and bring in new revenue," she said. "Our American Rescue Plan Act funds are ending December 31st, and I'm really nervous about where we're getting our funding from." Despite Clarkson's salary being so much higher than posted, she added, hiring Clarkson actually saved the county money. The administrator prior to Clarkson was overwhelmed with the work and had to have an assistant, she said. "Mr. Clarkson can do the work on his own." She said she regretted that the county lost two part-time employees, but that the move was necessary to hire Clarkson. Democrat Rhonda Nyman said that the commission should have provided more of an explanation as to why Clarkson was hired at such a high salary. "The process could have been maybe dealt with in a different manner," she said. "A little bit more transparency and, you know, accountability too, you know. And why did the level go from $125,000 posted salary up to almost $61,000 more?" Nyman, previously a member of the Plymouth County Advisory Board, said the board should have also had oversight over the decision.